It's a very encouraging and also motivating and also blessing for us. And today it's as part of the, I'll talk to Joseph that this is today is part of our program about community. It's our semester program. And today we will meditate about in his likeness. And we are glad that Joseph here with us to share and also to learn about this team. And based on that, we will read first from two part of the Bible. First is from Genesis 1, verse 26 until 28. So I will read from here. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." And next we, with the John 17, verse 26 until 20, from 20 until 26. I will read this. "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. In the name in them and you are in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteousness, Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." This is the word of the Lord. Let's, I invite Joseph to come forward. And before we hear the word of the Lord, the word from the Lord, and then we through Joseph, I would like to pray for Joseph. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible reading today, and also we thank you also you allow us to come here to worshiping you, to meditate your word, to extend our love to one another. We also thank you so much for the blessing you have given to us. For the presence of our brother Joseph Mutamba here, we pray that through him that your word, your name will be glorified, that more people can come to you and bow down to you. And we also pray that for the Joseph, for the future, for the family, for your plan to him, that we believe that you are the Father that provide the best and also have a unique plan to him. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ori. As you've heard, for those who might who don't know me personally, my name is Joseph, and I'm not the pastor here. Joy is, and this Sunday is one of those Sundays that Joely takes some time to just be, some time off just to rest and it's part of what we do. We don't want people to burn out here, so we give each other space to rest. And that is centered on God's word. So that's why Jolie is not here today. So I'm sort of stepping in to share with you some reflections that God has placed on my heart. And as Ari has said, so let me just get this in before I go too far. Here we go. Just gonna try and get my. Let's see. Okay, trying to get my presentation. Here we go. It's coming. F5. That's what they told me, and it works. Okay, so we are doing this theme on community. We've been reflecting on this. Jolie spoke on this, and I'm gonna speak on this as well. Here we go. So this Sunday, we will be reflecting on community with respect to in His likeness. So that's what we want to do. And I want to say up front that God loves you, and that the revealed word of God is given to us not to beat us around, but it's given to us in love from the bottom of the heart of God. God's word is given to mankind, and it's contained in a book we call the Bible. We'll find that in that book there is encouragement, there is praise for where we do right. But God is also frank with us, He's honest with us, and He tells us where we don't do right, and He gives us instructions on that. Sorry? It's not okay. It's muted. So let's see. Is it all now? Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Thank you very much. So this is the background. God's word is given to us because He loves us. And so we will go through some scriptures together. We'll reflect on some stuff together. But the context is love. The context is God wants us to be like Him. God is raising a community. He's raising an everlasting community. Now, I also want to say that this week has been quite a number of things for me, this ongoing week. But I'm here, thank God. And when I took time to look into what to share with us today, I found it very exciting when I was going in through various scriptures to see the depth of the Word of God and how Scripture interprets Scripture, how Scripture confirms Scripture. And that was very assuring for me. And as I was sort of going through and sort of rediscovering afresh that God's word, when he speaks on a specific theme or in a specific subject, He doesn't only say it once, but He says it again and again through different servants and over different time periods to make sure that the message gets there. And it is also safety for us that God presents His word that way, that through many servants, over a wide space of time, He confirms the same thing again and again. So that gives us the assurance that, yes, this is indeed what God is saying to us. Okay, community in His likeness. Now, I decided to sort of, I was actually spoiled for choice in terms of what scriptures to use. There's just so many scriptures throughout the Bible let's speak on this on this particular subject. So I had a lot to pick from, and it was I had a hard time trying to say, okay, which one shall I bring in, which one shall I not? So taking this scripture from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 to 17, it says, "And so we know." I love that. "And so we know. But not only do we know, we rely on the love God has for us." So first of all, we know that God loves us. But not only that, we hang on that. Our life depends on God's love for us. Outside that, there is no life. And then the scripture declares that God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because God is a just God. He will bring the record. Everybody says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue shall confess. So that's coming. But God is doing something wonderful before that time. He's extending mercy. He's extending love. And then this scripture is saying, in this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Now listen to this. Because in this world, we are like him. Now, the scripture is not saying we're going to have to wait until we enter heaven or until God comes to pick us up, that then we will be like God. No, no, no. The way God sees things is that right now, because in this world, which is passing away, we are like him. And that's what we're going to be exploring. How does that look like? We are like him in this world. It's not a tomorrow thing. It's not a when Christ comes again for the second time. It's a now thing. We are like him. This is how the believers, the early believers, saw it. And I am convinced that we too must see it that way. Now, let's just a little bit of an overview of some of the stuff we'll try to do today. We're going to be looking at God. We want to start at the beginning here, the beginning of what we know today as community. So we will do some reflections on God, the community we find in God. And then after that, we will look into what does the community of the followers of God look like? Those that have chosen to say yes to God, how does that look like? We're going to look into that. And then we will talk a little bit about in his likeness, truth, love, and grace. I think the last two are very popular with us. Love and grace. I think those two are very popular. I'm not sure about the first one, but we need to deal with that too, because God is truth. We can't parry chick. Okay. What's the expression?
Pick and choose.
Sorry?
Pick and choose,
yeah. But there's another one, which means the same thing. Cherry pick. That's what I'm looking for, cherry pick, yeah. We can't cherry pick here. We can't say, I like this part of the Bible, and I don't like this. No, that's not how God works. You got to take it the whole. You got to take the whole of it. And this is what we need to do. And this is what we're going to be looking at. So we're going to walk through those. Okay. I also thought that it's good to look at some keywords. You know, I like to sort of look at what keywords in my message How are they seen in today's world? I looked at community. I just picked up, checked in the dictionary, and I found out that a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. The condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common. A community is a small or large social unit who has something in common, such as norms, religion, values, or identity. So just put ourselves on the same page as to what community is about, and likeness, because this is a key word in our talk today. Now, I need to say that in this talk here, I've got two audiences. The first audience is God, who is watching over me, what I'm saying, and I am believing that he is helping me to say what I need to say. So that's my first audience. I take accountability to God, so that's my first audience. My second audience is you. I like to look at this as a conversation. And so as I am talking, you'll be saying, nah, that's wrong. Or you'll be saying, maybe. Or I'm saying, yes, I agree with that. But that's okay. We don't have to agree. But I would encourage that we agree with God. You don't have to agree with me. That's fine. I'm all right with that. But I would encourage us to agree with God. Then, okay, so we go back to that. Likeness, fact or quality of being alike, resemblance, you know. You look like your father, you know. And they've come up with an expression, like father, like son, like mother, like daughter, you know. Right. So it's sort of a representation here, an image. Likeness. Okay, so we got that one done. Let's get to a bit more stuff. Now, like I said, that we would sort of look a little bit into the origin of community. And that takes us to the first piece of scripture that Ari read for us, where it says, then God said, you see, again, there's a conversation that's been going on here. And so we're sort of jumping into the conversation. And so what do we hear? We hear, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Now, notice the pronoun in plural there. I see us. Can you see that? And I also see our image. Right? Our likeness. I see the plural there. And I'm wondering what's going on. And then let's go to the next verse. But in the next verse, this is interesting. I see. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, in this verse, in this line, I see singular. So God created mankind in his own image. That's singular there. That's interesting. On the one hand, you got a plural pronoun. And on the other hand, you got a singular. What does that tell us of God? Now, I think we are blessed. You could say we have the benefit of living thousands of years after this was written. We got the benefit of that. So we have come to know, and we can explain why the plural and the singular. We can understand that, and I'm just going to say it. We understand that we got the Father, we got the Son, and we got the Holy Spirit. We understand that, right? We also understand that because some would say, well, the hour and us, you see, God has got an audience here, and his audience are the angels. So you see, he's saying, but then here, so God created mankind in his own image, so that excludes any other audience other than God himself. You get that? Right. Well, if you don't agree, that's fine. We can always talk about it. But that's what I believe in. We don't, like I said, we don't have to agree. But we all have to try and agree with what God is saying. It may take us some time to get there, but eventually we need to get there. Now, the way I see it, the plural in the us, the plural pronouns in the us and our, I think it's got to do with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So they're having a conversation among themselves. But because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, therefore we got a singular pronoun. So God created mankind in his own image. That's how I see it. Okay. Now, when I remember the definition of community, there was something like a small group. So it can be, community can be a small group or it can be a big group. So you could have three people as a community, right? Do you agree? When you go three people, that's a group. That's a community. God, the origin of community, he will show us how community is done. Because he knows community. He is community. Yet he is one God. I like scripture. Now, this permeates throughout the whole Bible. I say scripture, interpret scripture. And God confirms his word not only two times, but many times. So you can go through the Bible and you'll find this, and we will do that. We'll pick some more scriptures, and we'll see that. Now, this is important to see where did community begin, because we can learn something from there. It didn't begin with us. It began somewhere. So we need to begin with the origin, with the heart of community. So that's why we are doing this. So we got that. Okay, that's the reference scripture. So now we want to find out, what do we see in God? What do we see in the community that is God? What do we see? How is community done by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? We want to explore that so that we can learn something, so that we can be like Father, like Son. I don't know of any better source to learn community than from God. I don't know. I've been on this road for a quarter of a century. And I'm still convinced, as I was convinced the day I turned myself to God, I'm still convinced that there is no other source of learning how to do life than from the author of life himself. So we're going to explore, what do we see about community in God? Now, this is a conversation. It's not a one-way thing here. I've picked up, I think, about five thoughts about what can be seen in God concerning community. Now, before I show them up, I want to hear from you. What do you think? What do you see from your walk with God, from your going through scriptures? What have you found out about community in God? Who wants to go first? Anybody? Now, this is a conversation, okay?
Commitment.
Okay, thank you. What else have you seen, yeah?
He likes variety
in us. Okay, okay, I hear that, but you are back to community as in people. But what trying to see, what's community like in God Himself? But that's okay.
Love,
yeah, love. This community is all about love.
Agreement.
Yes. This community is inseparable. You will see as we go through scripture, this community is in agreement, total agreement, amazing agreement. I put the word unity there. What else do we see? Sorry?
I see communication.
Communication. That this community communicates. Yeah, they do. Dan? Forgiveness. Well, that will work, I think. Okay. This community forgives the people it met. That I see, but this community is perfect, actually. The father doesn't have to forgive the son in this community because they are perfect. But I can see it when it comes to their creation. This community forgives their creation. I see that. But within this community, there is no need for the father to forgive the son because the son does what he sees the father do. Anything else? Oh, hang on. Wait. What, cooperation. Working together. Yes, this community is perfect at working together. The Father sends the Son goes back, He sends the Holy Spirit. What cooperation? You gonna say something? Support. This community is supportive of the other. We could go on and on and on. But I'm glad you see these things because it's crucial to see these things. What do we see in God? Because there we can learn something about community.
Loyalty.
Sorry?
Loyalty.
Ooh. Unto death. You know when the son was in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Father, this is too hard. Carrying the sins of Joseph is too hard. He said, it's too hard. Carrying the sins of the nations of the world is too hard, too many sins, it's a heavy burden. Father, could this cup pass away? But then he said, not my will, but your will. Yes. All right, let's move on because we got there. But I know we could talk more and more and more, but let's just go. So I came up with 5, and like you see, there are many more. But I sort of picked up the main ones, sort of that from there you can always have some sub themes. Unity. There is tremendous unity in this community. I and the Father are one. You see that across the Bible. And when you look into John 14, 8 to 11, there's a conversation happening there. Because Christ was about to be crucified and then to go back to heaven, to his Father. And then he's telling them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then somewhere in the conversation, Philip says, show us the Father, Lord. Then Christ says, Philip, come on. I've been with you all these years. And you've seen what I'm doing. When you see me, you see who? You see the Father, perfect unity. When you see the Son, you've seen the Father, perfect unity. And there are many more that could that supports us on that particular theme. We see fellowship. There is splendid fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Such joy marvelous. And you can go to 1 John, which says, in the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh. You see there in the beginning, the fellowship. And then you go to Matthew 11, 25, 26. That's the verse just before the bit we read about when Christ was saying, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Before, just above that, he is ecstatic. The Son is ecstatic. And he's saying, praise be to my Father, he says. You can go and check it. Praise be to my Father, because you have chosen to reveal these things to, he says. And then he goes on. But there's an excitement, there's a joy the Son is expressing to the Father in that. You go and check it out. Fellowship. Perfect fellowship. And then we got, somebody talked about variety. You see that there are distinct roles. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the things they do, and yet they're working together. But there are distinct roles there. The Father sends the Son pays this ultimate sacrifice for the restoration of mankind, and then when he's going, he's sending the Holy Spirit. In fact, for the Son to come out of death, the Holy Spirit, when you read through Scripture, it says the Holy Spirit called the Son up. He made it possible. So the Father sent the Son, and for the Son to come out of death there, the Holy Spirit comes in. You also see the Holy Spirit take the Son to the desert. You see the distinct roles and the working together. Fantastic. I'll skip that. You can go there and check it out. There's authority. There's supremacy. When you go to Isaiah 46, he says, God is saying, there is no other God but me. There isn't. There just isn't. I'm the only God there is. He declares that. And when you go to Matthew 28, when the Son is going back to heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. And he also gives us authority to go and make disciples of nations. So that's in the God community. In Colossians 1 to 15 and Hebrews 1, chapter 1, 1 to 9, what we see there is fantastic. How the Son is the exact representation of the Father. The exact image of the Father, the Son. And he has authority over all that's been created. Virtue. There's so much virtue, perfect virtue in the Godhead, in the Trinity, in the God community. Somebody spoke of love. There is blamelessness. There is uprightness. There is justice. There is mercy. There is virtue. In the Trinity. You don't find the word Trinity in the Bible, but we had men made up that word to sort of help themselves with describing the situation here of the Father. Instead of all the time saying the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all the time, we wanted some sort of shortcut, so we said Trinity. So there is virtue there, love. You could go and check John 3. It's a familiar one. For God so loved the world. So God is extending, expressing his love to mankind. You check Galatians 5. You see the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness, patience, gentleness, virtue after virtue in the Godhead. Now, let's now look into the community of followers of God. We have seen how community can be like or is like in God. And he has made us in his likeness, meaning what we see in God, we got to reflect that. That's what he expects of us. But it's not just about knowing about it, or some mental nod, or some mental acknowledgement of unity, of fellowship, of some virtue, of exercising authority. It's not just about some mental acknowledgement of that. It's about being. Being the likeness of God. That's what this is about. We remember that we read earlier on that in this way love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world we are like him. It's not we act like him, we pretend to be like him, or over time we've come to know enough scripture to play the right cards. No. It's about being. It's not about faking it. It's about being. That's the core of the matter. Being his likeness. Now, you say, how on earth did you expect me to do that? You could say. I'm struggling with putting things together. How on earth can I be? How on earth? Are you joking? You could say that. But he has not left us orphans, he says. He has not left us orphans. He has not left us, meaning he has not left us helpless. He has not left us without help. He has not left us without resources, so that we could be like him in this world, broken though it is, messy though it is. And so we look at some practical examples of the communities of God on earth. We're going to look at those two. I've been refreshing myself from the book of Revelation, and it's amazing. And so I just want to, they are just short paragraphs, but I want us to have a window there as to see what's the reality on the ground. How does it look like? To be in his likeness when you are living here on earth. How does it look like? So, I'm going to have us read from those two communities that are described in the book of Revelation. So, bear with me a little bit here. I'm reading that's from Revelation chapter 2. That's verses 1 to 7. It says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. This is Jesus speaking, basically. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate a wicked man, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. This is where the rubber meets the rod, they say it in some cultures. Yet I hold this against you. So there is a commendation, there is an encouragement, There is a praise for what is good, what's happening in God's communities on earth. So Christ is speaking directly into this situation. He says, I know where you are. Don't you think I don't know? I know where you are. I know whatever troubles you have. I do know. And he says, you have persevered. You have endured hardships for my name. And they have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who is in the ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Okay, so that's the situation that's happening on earth with respect to being in his likeness here. They're not getting it right, which we normally do, and God is recommending and encouraging and giving praise for the stuff that is happening that is good, but he's also correcting them on the stuff that's happening there that's not right. Then we go to the second one, Pergamum. He says, to the angel of the church in Pergamum, right. These are the words of him who has the sharp double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne. Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city, where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore. Otherwise, I'll soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna. I'll also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, not only to him who receives it. So that's the situation on the ground. We got some stuff where we get it right in our being, his likeness, and we got some stuff that we don't measure up yet to that. And God is saying, repent on that. So living in his likeness is authored and sustained through, first of all, repentance. That's why every week we do the confession of faith. We are realigning ourselves every time with God. So repentance is key. Opening our hearts to Jesus, to God's truth consistent with the Bible. And we practice God's love and the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. What happens? He is in those that have said yes to Jesus. This is how God makes it possible for us to live in his likeness. He encourages us to open our hearts to Jesus. To look into the God's truth, which is in the Bible. To practice God's love. And we are not alone in all this. We are helped by the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking of... I also read the works of other people. Ken Blanchard and Phil Hodges, they wrote a book called Lead Like Jesus. Some time ago, the man spent some time looking into what does it look like to lead like Jesus. And these guys say, your starting point is to settle it in your heart to say, whose am I? And who am I? So it's an issue of identity. Whose am I? And who am I? He says the first question, whose am I, deals with choosing the primary authority and the audience for your life. In other words, whom are you trying to please? He says leaders often demonstrate who they are by how they define success in today's world. They think success has to do with earthly power and position, as well as performance and the opinion of others. You can state it any way you like, but Scripture teaches us that ultimately we are created to please God. In the personal leadership arena, you first have to choose whether or not you will please God. That's the starting point, to get it settled in our hearts. Whose am I? Am I the world's or am I God's? Now, Scripture says you are not of the world. God says you don't belong to the world. If you have believed in God, you don't belong to God. You are God's property. So we've got to get that settled in our hearts as a community. And then the second question, who am I, deals with your life purpose. Why did the Lord put you on earth? What does he want to do through you? Scripture teaches that true success is the fulfillment of the life mission God planned for you. Your success in life depends on your relationship with Christ and what level of control you will let him have in your life. Are you willing to surrender all to him and to live as he would have you live, rather than how you want to live? Now, I'm remembering every sort of, more or less every end of the month, we meet as men, men's breakfast. And there is some stuff we talked about last time. And I just wanted to, if you don't mind, Shell, just going to share here. That was Matthew 25. And there was I think we looked into three parables, one of which was the ten virgins. Now, that has stayed with me. It says ten virgins. They were all waiting for the bride to come. But Scripture is frank. It says five were foolish, five were wise. So what was the differentiator between these two? They all had been in the wave of, we are waiting for the groom, every la la la. They knew the song. Or they could all do that, but five ultimately were foolish and five were wise. What's the difference here? And that's why we do these things. That's why we come here to get it right. It's about being, not trying to play the right card. Who is your audience? Whose are you? It turns out that the five foolish ones did not have extra jars of oil. They didn't have sufficient fuel to keep going with the party. So when the bride came, we are running out of oil. Can we have you? I said, forget it. Some things can be shared. I need you to know this. Your relationship with God cannot be shared. It's got to be you and God. You're going to work with God here to be his likeness. That can never, ever be shared. You can't use Shell's relationship with God. It's very personal, I'm afraid. But that's Scripture. That's how God works. We're going to get it right. We're going to make that decision now. Now, I need to close this. So, we talked about that. The last bit. Now, God is love. In his likeness, we practice God's love. I say, I practice God's love. Do I fail? Yes, I fail big time. Do I practice God's love? Yes, I do. Even though I fail, I do. I get up. I'm sorry, God. Help me. Come through for me, Holy Spirit. Engage with God. Don't give up on God. God knows that you fail, but keep talking to God. Keep working with him. God is love. In his likeness, we practice God's love. God is truth. Sometimes we hop way, way, way too much on love. Now, truth is not one-winged. You're saying something, Charles? What is it? Time, I hear you. I'm going to close. I'm almost there. I'm going to close. Thank you, Charles. Truth is not one-winged. Truth is two-winged. It's got to balance. Remember the devil when he was coming to Christ? He quoted a scripture because he saw that Christ quoted scripture. He quoted a scripture, but Christ said, well, basically he said, I know about that, but it is also written. If you pick one scripture and you hammer on it out of context with the rest, you get it wrong. So while we talk about love, we need to talk about truth as well. Because God is truth. And God is building an everlasting community. In his likeness, we build with God. We are the living temple of God in whose spirit lives. Now, grace of God, another popular. The grace of God empowers us to live in the likeness of God. And it makes up for our shortcomings. We are done, and we'll be closing in prayer. Now, this is what I found. You can go and do your own check. The Bible is there. I found from Titus 2, 11 to 14, that for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. The question is, what do you do with it? But it's been given to all people because God is love. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Right. I rest my case. I say, we don't have to agree. But what I try to do is to align myself with God's word. Let's pray, and we'll do the, let's pray together. We just spend some time just sort of reflecting and praying. Thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you for just helping us to get it. Just helping us to get it. And thank you for your provisions, the things you've given us so we can be your likeness. Amen. If we could have the on the screen, that's the yes. We're going to do this. Could we?